Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Wes Craven podcast in all of Springboro or wherever Scream was set. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Ray's Babes Frisbee.
Hello.
What are you doing, stealing my Jerry Lewis stuff?
No, you never do Jerry Lewis stuff.
Didn't we just talk last week about how I sound like Jerry Lewis?
Never happened.
No, you're probably right.
But we also got another guest. Possibly like Jerry Lewis, possibly not, from Ilcon Radio. And we have Shelby Cobras. How are you doing?
What's up, guys?
Guys! Oh, I knew it! He's got the voice, too! With the voice and the talking!
How are you
Ilcon
doing, Shelby
Radio
Cobras?
Used to be on FCC Free. You are now on a new radio station.
Yes, we just moved to Radio Valencia, which is pretty cool because we're on terrestrial FM radio in San Francisco now. But we are also on a pirate radio station, which means that we can still say things like cunt and faggot and motherfucker and not get in trouble for it.
But so, it's a pirate radio station, so you could get arrested.
We could get arrested, yeah. Well, no, I don't think we can get arrested. I think maybe the people that run it can get arrested.
Somebody's going to get arrested.
Yeah. Anyways, it is, I mean, I've been out of town for the last 9 days, so I actually missed the first two shows on Radio Valencia. So this is kind of controversial that I'm coming on your show before going on my own show.
I think
you know what I mean?
I think it's fitting.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
It's definitely fitting. But, yeah, we have it's a really awesome station. They have a great setup there, and we're stoked on it, so. Our iTunes feed and everything is still in the same place. If you're already subscribed to Logical Contraption, you'll still get your episodes via iTunes the same way and stuff. But yeah, we just have a better setup now, and you can listen to us on the FM dial if you're in San Francisco now.
But still on the interwebs, right?
Yeah, still in all the same places on the internet except for FCC Free Radio.
The terrestrial broadcast is 87.7, is that right?
87.9.
87.9. I listened to the first show live over the interwebs, because I'm out in the Midwest, South Midwest, whatever.
Right.
And it was good. It was really fun. You guys
had
a clear, same old Ilcon stuff.
Yeah, I listened to the first episode. It was really good. We had Adam Papagon on, who's a really funny, cool guy.
He's Del Talk Show, right?
Yeah, Del Talk Show, and he's also like David Liebehart's band leader, David Liebehart from Tim and Eric.
Who did a new theme song for you guys. He already had a theme song, but decided to do another one.
Absolutely.
For your new radio station, which is awesome.
We went, actually, the whole cast of the show, well, four of us went and saw David Liebehart play live in San Francisco a couple months ago with Adam Papagon on guitar. It was really awesome. But I don't know if either of you guys got around to listening to the last show, the second show on Radio Valencia. It was terrible.
Why?
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with my co-host, Aloysius.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He managed to show up blackout drunk at 6 p.m. on a Sunday and completely derailed every conversation and actually fell off of his chair halfway through the show. So it made for a... It made for some pretty bad radio.
So check it out at Ilcon Radio.
Go down and check out that terrible, unlistenable episode.
Is it in podcast form, or did you cut all that stuff out?
No, we kept it all. We kept it all.
Nice.
Do it live.
Yeah, I'm real behind on all my podcasts. I got to catch up.
Yeah. And I'll be back. I'll be doing the first show on Radio Valencia, my first show on Radio Valencia. This Sunday, our guest will be Sergeant D. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he's sort of an internet famous guy that hates old people and relates with youth culture, even though he's old. If that makes any sense. I don't know. He's a funny guy. Look him up on Tumblr. He's pretty hilarious.
I think you kind of just described Kevin Smith. Was this Kevin Smith you had on the show?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Did I say Sergeant D? I meant Kevin Smith. He's coming on the show.
He's a great guy. He likes comic books.
Yeah. So join us for Jort's Chat with Kevin Smith Sunday, Radio Valencia. Our new address there is radiovalencia.fm/illogicalcontraption. So it's easier to find, too. You can find us on illogicalcontraption.blogspot.com, which is soon moving to illogicalcontraption.net, and we'll have a completely new and updated appearance, and should be pretty cool.
Does somebody already have illogicalcontraption.com?
Yeah, one of those weird, like, vulture sites that snags websites and then charges exorbitant amounts of money to get them back actually got that. I went and looked it up, and I would have to pay a bunch of money to get just.com. So I looked up .net, and it's still available. So we're going to go to that.
Maybe you should get .xxx and then put some porn on your site as well. Really liven it up.
I like where you're going with this.
Get .xxx and don't put porn on your site. Get a lot of disappointment until they see those Guy Fieri posts.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. With the Comic Sans font.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I think you should go with .xxx and then just have a bunch of stuff about Vin Diesel and Ice Cube.
Ah.
Because they were in those movies, the XXX movies.
Right. I get it.
You know, those movies that came out, they were called XXX, if you don't remember.
I remember. Oh, to research Cuban history for this joke, so that's good.
Yeah, I think if you know about the Cuban Revolution of the 50s, then really that joke will hit home for you.
Maybe we should get .xxx and just talk about... Juggalos did 9/11 conspiracy theory.
Man, Juggalos would be so heated if you do that.
It'd be so heated.
I'm getting heated
just thinking about how heated they would be.
They get so mad about everything.
Yeah.
Speaking of Juggalos, we also need to introduce our producer, who we hardly ever introduce anymore. But he is our producer, and he's Muhammad, and he's here.
How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, Muhammad. How you doing?
Okay.
I think that's all he says anymore.
He seems like he's usually pretty okay.
You're right.
Yeah. Wow. I've been paying attention.
We've got
Spurbeck.
Spurbeck.
I just remembered his last name is Spurbeck.
Yeah, Muhammad Spurbeck is his name. We found that out.
Hey, can I go over two super quick points with you guys?
Yes.
Okay. I listened to the most recent episode of Pool Party Radio where you guys talked about how you had the idea of playing D&D live on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nerd Poker on Earwolf stole that idea from you.
They stole it right from us.
Yeah. We had the same idea on our radio show. We were going to do that, but we decided it would be way too boring to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that there's a whole podcast dedicated to listening to people play D&D on Earwolf, one of the most popular, networks, I think that's a pretty sad statement about the state of the podcasting world. That they made a whole show out of something that was too boring for one episode of either of our podcasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Viva underground podcasting.
You got that right.
Viva. Yeah.
Down with Earwolf.
Down with these Walmarts of podcasting.
Exactly.
These Earwolves and these.
Exactly.
Adam Carollas.
One more quick thing I wanted to go over. Parker, I heard you guys on Junk Food Dinner talking about Bobcat Goldthwait's new found footage Bigfoot movie about the Big Feetsman.
Big Feetsman.
And it's called Willow Creek.
Yeah.
Interesting factoid. My mom lives in the town of Willow Creek, California.
I didn't know it was a real town.
Yeah, it is. It's a little tiny town up in the mountains in Trinity County, east of Humboldt County. And I spent a good amount of my childhood up there. So as much as I loathe Bobcat Goldthwait, I'm putting my full support behind this movie just out of loyalty to Willow Creek, California.
That's understandable.
Yeah. And I absolutely despised God Bless America, and I fucking hated American Dad or whatever that Robin Williams movie was.
Yeah. Was
just terrible movies. Bobcat Goldthwait is the worst, but I am putting my full support behind Willow Creek. And even if it sucks, I'll defend it to the death.
That's understandable. I get like that for Southern Ohio, Southwest Ohio movies. So
yeah, I do like a good Big Feetsman movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, and a lot of found footage ones out though. So
yeah,
I guess.
Have you ever seen that show Finding Bigfoot?
No, I have. Well, I think I watched like one episode, and they didn't find Bigfoot, so I haven't gone back.
Right. I actually know, I grew up with one of the guys on that show. Bobo, the big, like, Lummox guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the same area, very close to Willow Creek. That's why he's an expert. But I grew up with him in Humboldt County.
I thought you were going to ask if we saw that show, Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that show
a long time ago. The TV version of it.
Yeah.
The real version.
Forget that movie with the John Lithgow. I don't need no Harvard trained actor telling me how to interact with Big Feetsman.
Yeah.
But
I wish that they would redo that movie with Lithgow. And like halfway through the movie, he takes a bath with that Bigfoot. And then, like, slits its arteries in its leg, like in Dexter.
Dexter.
Yeah.
It would probably be less sad than the actual ending of Harry and the Hendersons.
Probably, yeah. That's a tearjerker.
Get out of here! Get out of here! We hate you! And he has to fucking chase off Harry.
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer.
We hate you, anomaly.
Yeah.
You cryptozoological rarity. Get out of here. I haven't heard of this new Bigfoot show that you're talking about that your friend was on, but it reminds me of this travelogue show that Stephen Fry did. Stephen Fry is a guy that I try to get Parker to convince that he likes, this dude from England.
I like
Stephen Fry.
And he tours around the U.S. He spends a lot of time in California and the Northwest. And I think it's in Oregon. Yeah, it has to be Oregon because the guy was wearing a bunch of Oregon University stuff. But they're out in the woods, and this guy is telling about his Bigfoot experience. And it's very, like, heartfelt. This guy's like, I didn't see him clearly, but I know he was there. And it's just amazing that, like, Stephen Fry is coming to America to, like, talk about this and, like, witchcraft and all this other stuff. Anyway, that was my first brush of real talk, Big Feetsman style. Anyway, right. What were you asking?
I was just going to say, Stephen Fry is the orange-haired guy from Futurama, right?
Yeah, Stephen Fry. Stephen okay. J. Fry. He was frozen in 1999.
Yeah. I thought I might have been mistaken for a second when you said he was British, but no, we're on the same page.
Exactly.
Have you guys heard the new Big Feetsman news? Apparently some scientists, like a week ago, said that they have found Big Feetsman DNA and that it's not human DNA or chimp DNA or anything, that it's actual Big Feetsman DNA.
Is this scientists in quotation marks? Because that can be kind of a misleading term sometimes.
As far as I could tell from the story I read, which was like three paragraphs long, they were real scientists from like a real school somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Coast to Coast University?
Yeah. George Norrie University.
Absolutely.
I guess, yeah. But since this was like a week ago and we're not like celebrating the fact that Big Feetsmen are real already, I guess maybe they were lying.
Hmm.
I haven't read any follow-ups.
Did you see it on Reddit? Because chances are it's not true.
No, I went to a very reputable place on the internet. I went to Tumblr and found it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where everything is true.
Yeah. Yep.
And, yeah. So, all right. Enough with these Big Feetsmen. Actually, not enough with these Big Feetsmen. Mohammed, you know Big Feetsmen, right? You've met a Big Feetsmen?
Oh, yes, I do.
How do you know Big Feetsmen?
We had talked on the phone during the holidays.
All right. That's nice to hear.
It's a close relationship.
Yeah, it's a very common time to discover Big Feetsmen around the holidays.
It's true. That's when they come out.
They smell the turkey on Thanksgiving. It brings them down out of the hills.
And they love presents. Little known fact about Big Feetsmen. Yeah.
They love presents. Who doesn't love presents, though, really?
Everybody loves presents.
I'm lukewarm on presents, but we'll get to that another time.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. PodAwful.net.
All right, so the first thing we're going to do here is the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is a thing we do on the show a lot. So if you listen to the show, you know what it is, and if you don't, stop listening. That's the militant stance we're taking from now on.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening to the first 10 minutes of the show.
Thanks for having fun.
Yep.
See you later.
All right, now come into the VIP room, everybody else. This is a good, the bad, and the ugly for states. We're doing this in honor of Shelby Cobra's recent trip to Hawaii. How was your trip, by the way?
Oh, man. Tough to sum up in a brief amount of time. It was great. I hurt my ankle the first day I was there and spent a lot of time with my foot in the air drinking rum. So couldn't have gone much better.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the call for the trip?
What's that?
What was the call for the trip? Were you just like hanging out in Hawaii, or were you meeting up with people?
No, I was just chilling. I went with my son, and
sweet.
We had a good old time. We saw some fucking whales, man. It was cool.
That's pretty cool. I like whales.
Whales are kick-ass. I have a fun fact. On my flight back from Hawaii on Sunday, guess who was on my flight? Each one of you guess.
Kevin Smith.
Not Kevin Smith. Frisbee, what's your guess?
Rob Lowe.
Not Rob Lowe. It was Gary Sinise.
Whoa.
Was on my flight back from Hawaii. And you know what I realized when I told some people about it was that I had... At least in the social circles that I run in, I had highly overestimated Gary Sinise's star power. I probably told 7 people about it, and probably 4 of them knew who he was. And the other 3 went, "Who's that?" And I went, "Lieutenant Dan." And they went, "Oh, Lieutenant Dan." Yeah, but I thought everybody knew who Gary Sinise is.
No, I think Gary Sinise is like the kind of star where like you have to say that you saw Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, I kind of resorted to that after I told a couple people and they had no idea what I was talking about. I just started telling people, yeah, Lieutenant Dan was on my flight.
Yeah, then people get it. You'll get a big reaction then, I bet.
Yeah, I should have known the first person I told was my son, he's 14 years old, and he didn't see him. He walked by us, and I was like, oh my God, that was Gary Sinise. And he's like, who? And I was like, Lieutenant Dan. He's like, oh, Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
You should have said, hey, that's Gary Sinise from the Lieutenant Dan band. Because that's an actual band that he has. They were playing out in Philadelphia, and yeah. We almost saw them.
They play on, like, the What's-His-Face show. That one, Huckabee's. They play on the Mike Huckabee show a lot.
You know what's crazy? Maybe 2 hours ago, I came across another band that's just called Lieutenant Dan.
Hmm.
The first time I'd ever heard of them. But they're called Lieutenant Dan, but it's just spelled LTDAN.
I think those two bands are probably going to have to fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they need to duke it out. Here's another thing. So Gary Sinise is in the band, the Lieutenant Dan band?
Yeah, he's in the band.
Because I think it's funny, he's really riding on that that character still. Because when he was at the airport, he didn't board with the rest of the passengers. He was like hiding off in the shadows. And then they called, you know how they call names at the beginning of the flight? Like the pre-boarding and stuff, the first class people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had an assumed name that he was using, and it was I won't say the last name, but the first name was Daniel.
Yeah.
So he's using the name Daniel as his alias when he flies on airplanes.
So they weren't like calling out, "Can CSI Roberts please board the flight?"
Right.
CSI Roberts.
No. Yeah. They were like, "Now pre-boarding, Lieutenant Dan."
he rolled up
on a wheelchair.
We're now boarding the guy from The Stand who's not Molly Ringwald.
with the weird rat-like face? Mm-hmm. No, he's not rat-like. That's Buscemi.
No, Buscemi's not rat-like. He's like pug-like. He's got big eyes and stuff.
Maybe he's not rat-like, but he's weaselly.
Oh, yeah. I'd definitely say he's weaselly.
Definitely weaselly.
A lot of difference between rats and weasels, though.
Yeah.
So you went to Hawaii. This is something that blew my mind when you told me you were going to Hawaii, because... As a youngster growing up in Ohio, watching TV, you would think that everybody goes to Hawaii like every weekend in the world. Mm-hmm. And when I got older, I realized that's because it's probably a California thing for people to go to Hawaii because it's like pretty close,
right,
relatively to other states anyway.
Yeah.
And so that was my theory going for a lot of years. And then you said you were going to Hawaii and it blew my mind. Is this something that happens a lot? Was I correct in my assumption that Hawaii is like the Kentucky for Ohio, and that's where you go when you want to have fun?
I had no idea that Kentucky was the Hawaii of Ohio.
It totally is.
That's quite a line to be drawn. I don't know. I'm guessing that probably people from California go more often because it's a 6-hour flight instead of a 9 or 10 hour flight, or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That and like when you live in California, like it's already like pretty awesome and there's like beaches and like mountains and shit. So like if you want to see cool country stuff and like cool nature, you have to go to Hawaii.
Yeah. You're like, let's go to a place that's slightly better than this.
Super California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it is. It's like Super California.
Yeah. That's where all the big stars live, like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're sick of piddly stars like Gary Sinise and you want to see some real stars, you go to Hawaii and you meet Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, you go to Honolulu and track down Dog. Mm-hmm. Who's tracking down who now, dog?
It's a game of cat and mouse.
That's what I told him.
Where the hunter has become the hunted.
You took it right out of my mouth.
Well, speaking of mouths, let's get into this good, the bad, and the ugly of states.
Nice transition.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's flawless.
Well, you know, that's how it goes when you're the host of a podcast. All right, Mr. Frisbee, I'm going to start with you for your state, your good state. And these are not necessarily, to cut you off real quick, these are not necessarily states that we've been to, I think. They didn't have to be, but they probably will be, I suppose. Otherwise, we'd just be guessing.
Okay. Well, I had a backup state because I didn't know we'd be going first. But to indulge ourselves, I'm going to say Ohio. And for one reason that is shared with my other backup state is that if you don't like whatever city you're in, you can drive to another city that's probably going to be a little more excellent. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a location style person, where if I don't like where I'm at, I expect to be able to go somewhere where I might like where I'm at, and I have to change my surroundings a little bit. It's kind of dickish, I know, but Ohio has like four or five major cities and then a couple of smaller cities. And chances are you can find somebody you know somewhere in one of those cities, like a 3-hour drive away, which isn't too bad.
Not even that. Like, that's the farthest you would have to go in Ohio.
Like, yes. If you want to go from, like, Cincy to to Cleveland.
Yeah.
You'd be driving 3 to 5 hours. So.
Not even 5 hours.
Yeah, from, like, Dayton
that's
to
insane.
Cincy or Dayton to Columbus, it's like an hour drive.
Yeah. It's good. It's perfect. It's the complete opposite of how things are in California, because if you want to go to another town in California, it's like 5 hours away, no matter what direction you go in.
That was my backup, though, because same thing. There's variety. But you'd have to, like, do a on-the-road style trip where you have to camp out on the side of the road or something, mm-hmm. which might be cool, except for all the scorpions and gigantic Stormship Troopers bugs that you have out there.
Yeah, and big feetsmen.
Yes. Mm. But that would be awesome to meet, though. Then you have a Harry and the Hendersons type moment.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool to meet one of the Harry and the Hendersons big feetsmen, but I know I'd probably meet one of those scary Boggy Creek big feetsmen.
One of those Bobcat Goldthwait big feetsmen.
Mm-hmm.
One of those scariest kind.
Yeah, the kind that like just yells like Sam Kinison a lot.
Oh! I've only been to I actually took one of those on the road style cross country trips right after I finished high school in 1987.
What?
I'm an old man. I passed through Cincinnati. We drove through Cincinnati. I think that's the only time I've been in Ohio. We didn't even stop. We just drove through. I saw Cincinnati from the freeway. So my Ohio experience is very limited. Although one of my best friends is from Cleveland. He talks about it a lot.
And yeah.
He's a big Cleveland Indians fan, so I always have something to make fun of him for.
Is he a Browns fan too? It's the worst combination of sports teams up there.
No, he's not a football guy. He's definitely a baseball guy. He actually wears Cleveland Indians pajamas. I made a joke about it once, and then one time I had to stay over at his house because he lives by the airport, and I had a really early flight to catch. And he came out in the living room, and he was wearing Cleveland Indians pajamas right after I made a joke about it. And I was like, oh, my God, this guy's actually living life.
He's actually one of the characters from Major League.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Dennis Quaid that you were staying with, or Randy Quaid, one of those Quaids.
It was Charlie Sheen.
Wow. His alarm clock is Wild Thing.
Yeah, Wild Thing himself. Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, I was thinking about going with Ohio, clearly, for my good, because they have fucking sweet-ass chili dogs and stuff. And I miss
them. For one. And then they also have Devo.
Oh, yeah.
By Voices. A bunch of weird-ass small bands,
well,
Breeders.
Yeah, well, I was going to put them on my bad list because they have Guided by Voices.
Oh, geez.
Also, they also have the Black Keys, so that's another strike against them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Also like, from Akron, hometown of Devo.
It's weird how that works. Just give a city 30 years and they can go from really awesome to not so awesome.
Yeah. No, Devo's. Mm-hmm. I forgot Devo's from Akron. They're one of my all-time favorite bands.
They're a sweet band.
Have you guys ever caught them live?
No, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to see them live today. It's how people are with some of their bands where it's like, you don't want to see Rocky Erickson today. You want to see Rocky Erickson when he's just tripping on plates of acid. And
right.
With Devo, I kind of watch those old Fridays clips. They were like on Fridays twice back in the early 80s. And those clips are fantastic. Like when they do Gates of Steel on that Fridays performance, it's awesome. And I'm totally content watching like a bad VHS ripped copy on YouTube of that. I don't know if I want to see them like pant and struggle through it now, like in their 50s and 60s and whatnot.
Well, Mr. Frisbee, I'm going to tell you right now, you're absolutely wrong. I saw them a little over a year ago, and they were fucking amazing.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. If you ever get a chance, you should go check them out. They're still wonderful.
That's good. There's four of them left. I know the drummer's gone, which
is
a
bummer. Yeah, they have the – what's the guy? The Vandals, the drummer from the Vandals plays with them now, Josh something. So they have one super young guy and then like four guys in their 60s, but they're still just fucking killing it.
All right, I'll bite. I'll
also have you stuff. if you've never seen the movie Devo Vision, The Truth About De-Evolution?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's that old film with Boogie Boy they do like like three or four different songs. They do Secret Agent Man. It's super weird. They got like the pantyhose on their face and
I used to love that.
And they're wearing diapers and shit.
I used to love that movie so much that I made an audio cassette of the entire movie, and I would listen to it in my first car that I got when I was 16. I would just listen to that movie on a loop.
That's the perfect thing to do with like if you have a cassette tape car, which I don't think anybody's gonna have to go through ever again. But still, like I had the soundtrack to Reservoir Dogs, where Stephen Wright does all the bumpers for it.
Yeah,
there's something really great about those really weird, bizarre cassette tapes that you can find. And getting the soundtrack of De-Evolution is excellent.
Yeah.
And before we move on, that clip where it's Boogie Boy running up and it's that weird audio track. He's running up the factory steps and he delivers that portfolio to it's Mark Mothersbaugh's dad, right? In the
General Boy, right?
General Boy, yeah.
All the all the incidental music from that film is amazing too. It's all crazy looped out farty synthesizers and shit.
Yeah. There's a band out of Japan who I regret not seeing when they were playing like on a Tuesday night. Like my train was running late or some bullshit. And they're called Polysix. They have a bunch of weird ass shit and they are dead on influenced by Devo. They make no qualms about it. They wear like visors over their face and matching jumpsuits. They're awesome. Great, like bizarre synth shit. And they recreated that bit of like General Boy explaining like Polysix instead of Devo.
And I'll deal with you nerds later.
With you, Devo.
Well, what's your state then?
My state, I kind of gave it away a little earlier, but I'm going with Kentucky. Growing up in Southwest Ohio, Dayton had some stuff going on, but usually if you wanted to have like a lot of fun, you had to go to Cincinnati. And usually when you would want to have a lot of fun in Cincinnati, you would technically be going over the bridge and going to Kentucky.
True.
They got, nice aquariums there. They got like all the best venues there. Southgate House is there. Some other venue was there for a long time where I saw the Queers and the Groovy Ghoulies. And also you can like smoke there. You can buy Everclear there. Super cheap Everclear. Way cheaper than they sell it out here. I was shocked to find Everclear in California and it was like three times as much and less alcoholic as it is in Kentucky. And it's just a great place. Just a great place.
It is kind of a wonderland. That was going back to Stephen J. Fry from Futurama. That was his favorite state from the travelogue. He loved Kentucky the most. Yeah. He said he'd go back to Kentucky to revisit that state. But
now, this is really weird to me. I always, since I haven't spent much time in the Midwest at all, I just drove through really fast a couple times. I had no idea that Kentucky was a desirable place to be. I would have never guessed that. I always just assumed it sucked.
Yeah. That's a weird thing. It's a point of pride for people from Cincinnati that if people from Cincinnati go anywhere else in the country and other people like will say, "Oh, your accent's weird. Are you from Kentucky?" They'll get super offended. I don't know if it's like push their button or some shit, but they get super offended. Like, no. I don't want to be from someplace that's awesome. I want to be from an industrial wasteland.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's totally more racist than Covington in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's real weird. Like, there's like a real, there's like a lot of bad blood between Southern Ohio and Kentucky for some reason, but Kentucky's probably better.
Wow, I had no idea about this. Isn't that where Hunter S. Thompson's from as well? Isn't he from Louisville?
Yeah, which is like an hour and a half away from like the Cincinnati part of the border. But that's cool. A cool place, too. It's like a really nice, pretty town. I've never really hung out there too much, but there's like a Six Flags there, and that's pretty cool.
There's giant banners of Muhammad Ali everywhere. You'd love it.
Yeah, no. Last time I drove through there, they had the Muhammad Ali Museum with a bunch of pictures of him everywhere. It was great.
Oh, I saw Muhammad Ali there. I forgot. Yeah, when I went to go to my cousin's graduation over in Fort Knox, went to that breakfast and saw Muhammad Ali came in. The entire restaurant went into a dire hush.
Like, oh, you're just making up stories now, Frisbee.
I am not telling tales. This actually happened.
Man, that's pretty intense. Like, if Muhammad Ali came into the restaurant I was at, I would just start, like, openly weeping and, like, groveling and stuff like this, like the way that, like, serfs would do to, like, Henry VIII or something.
Was he with Gary Sinise?
Lieutenant
Dan.
Lieutenant Dan is the preferred nomenclature, but yeah. He was just with, like, his lawyer and a doctor or something. I mean, he was two dudes in suits, but he was taller than everyone there. I mean, he was kind of suffering from whatever it is. Is it did he have a stroke, or is it Bell palsy, or what is it?
Yeah, he's suffering from getting punched in the head 1,000 times.
I couldn't think of the medical term, but that's
the proper medical term.
That kind of is. Like, he's got, like, what is it that Michael J. Fox has? Is that cerebral palsy?
Yeah.
No, that's Parkinson's.
Parkinson's. Yeah, he's got Parkinson's. Oh. But the way that Muhammad Ali has it, it's not, like, genetic the way that most people get it. It's because he was punched in the head, like, 1,000 million times.
As much as it probably sucks to have Parkinson's, I bet Michael J. Fox is, like, really good at 8-bit Nintendo games. He can hit the B button really fast.
Dude, he rules at Tetris. He's number one.
I bet, yeah. It's like he's got a built-in rapid-fire thumb.
Speaking of thumbs, what is your good state, Shelby Copus?
Well, speaking of thumbs, my good state is the thumb-like state of New York. You know, I was tempted to say California because California is awesome. But I think I like New York a little bit better. I've been out there a couple times and my experience with New York doesn't really range that much outside of New York City itself. But New York City is such a magical place that it just kind of takes over the whole state. And if you go to New York City, you just kind of feel like you're in an awesome movie all the time. And
yeah.
And, you know, the kissing contest guys are all fucking have a boner for living in Brooklyn and stuff, which is kind of lame. But, you know, those guys just kind of suck anyways.
Speaking of kissing contest being kind of lame, you were on that show.
I was.
A while ago, right? You did a movie exchange about best gang movies.
Yeah, I think that was in September of last year. I went on their show. Yeah, but I went out there. I was out there visiting for a little over a week and hung out with those guys. They're great guys. I'm just bullshitting. But New York is awesome. And you know what's funny, though, is I saw that sketch on Saturday Night Live. I don't watch Saturday Night Live on the regular. Don't get mad at me, Parker. But... Are either of you familiar with that new sketch they do called The Californians?
Yes.
Where they just make fun of people from California and how people from California just talk about freeways and streets and how they get to places.
And then look at their hair.
Right. But here's what's funny about people from New York, or at least New York City. Everybody I know in New York City, all they talk about is living in New York City and like which streets and which neighborhoods they go to and what the economic situation of each neighborhood is, and it's basically like it's like the complete reverse of the Californians. All they talk about is living in New York, and I think it's kind of funny that people in New York are making fun of Californians for that when they're equally as guilty of it.
Yeah, like when that what was it, the Chronicles of Narnia rap came out, god damn, almost like a decade ago. Well, it seems that way, like 6 years ago. They're referencing Magnolia's cupcakes and how to get to certain places using their smartphone maps.
Yeah, like, yeah.
That was kind of a self-jab, but I definitely think that's kind of gone with the way of Californians. Although, to be fair, like, California doesn't really get ragged on too much anymore.
Oh, yeah.
People tend to think it's pretty awesome regardless.
Yeah, what's up now, New York? The hunter has become the hunted. Oh, and also, another reason why New York is the best state in the union, Hide the Bodies Press is located there.
Man, that's so great.
And they're the best dudes ever.
Man.
And you know what? If you want to buy a sweet Illogical Contraption t-shirt from Hide the Bodies Press, you can actually go to illogicalcontraption.blogspot.com, hit the little banner on the right, and get a sweet t-shirt for only $12.
You sold all those shirts. Where's my percentage?
Oh, it's on the way. It's in the mail, Muhammad. I'm sorry.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
I guarantee it.
Hide the Bodies also does another kind of shirt. Isn't that right, Parker?
Yeah, they do a cool shirt with a raccoon on it.
Yep, that's the one.
Buy that one as well.
That's definitely my favorite shirt that they make.
The Girl Crying Cats is my favorite. I've actually worn that shirt quite a few times. I'm afraid to wash it because that might wear out the ink. Although I doubt that it would because you guys are into high quality.
That's so high quality, man. You could wash that shit forever. And it would
you ever look at the tag on your shirt? It's not like a Hanes tag on a Hide the Bodies shirt. It's actually a Hide the Bodies logo printed on the inside of the neck of your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
4.5-ounce cotton.
Yeah.
They did not fuck around.
They knew that a little tag on the inside of the collar would probably itch, so they just bypassed the whole fucking situation. They're perfect.
It's a beautiful team out there.
They're perfect. Each and every one of them are perfect.
All other New York factors aside, I would still name it as my favorite state just because Hide the Bodies Press is located there.
Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about, even if you, like, leave out New York City, like, if you're just talking about New York State, Hide the Bodies is definitely the best part of New York State.
Yeah, exactly.
Albany can go suck itself.
Yeah, just go fuck yourself, Albany.
Yeah.
You're talking about New York City, though, earlier, and I heard on a couple accounts more recently, like, I had this college professor from New York, and he was so prideful, even though he was, like, out in Ohio, he was still so prideful of New York City that when posed with the question, and I think he posed this question to himself. He's like, hey, I think I was asked to go a while ago, like if the entire U.S. had to like disassociate with New York City, if New York City was, I don't know, expunged or removed from the Union.
Excised.
Yeah, excised. What would happen to it? And he's like, I think they'd be okay. I think New York would be all right, you know? I mean, it's kind of like its own country, you know? And I'm like, I doubt that. But still, it's a warm thought to be so prideful of your home city.
They are the heart of our nation. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
Oakland is like the armpit, and they're the heart. Kentucky is the nipple.
Yeah, the good nipple.
The nipple that only the finest gentlemen supple at.
Yeah, like a real soft nipple, not like supple. Speaking of nipples, Mr. Frisbee, what's your bad state?
Well, I'll tell you about America's third nipple, the one that they want to cover up or get removed. It's probably Kansas. And I say this with a heavy heart because part of one of my favorite cities in America, Kansas City, has half of itself in Kansas. But most of the awesome parts are in Kansas City, Missouri. So you can kind of do without, if you know what I'm saying. But the rest of Kansas is doldrums. It is just flat. I mean, outside of, I think, In Cold Blood, which is this weird, creepy murder story that happened that Truman Capote focused on.
Mm-hmm.
I there's not a lot going on in Kansas, which is, it's a shame. It's just flat. It's just flat lands. And I guess unless you're farming, it can be kind of depressing. If you're driving through, it can be depressing because there's not a lot of places to stop.
Absolutely. I've driven through Kansas as well, and there was nothing there. But you know what is there?
What?
The Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, another reason to disassociate with the state.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
terrible.
It's a pretty boring state. You have to drive through it as fast as possible. Muhammad, how fast do you drive through Kansas?
Bang, splat, real fast.
I thought so.
You know what I noticed about the Westboro Baptist Church? I looked them up on Yelp once to see what their reviews were like.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 1.5 out of 5 stars, which I thought was shockingly high. But their zip code for the actual church itself is 66604 or something like that. But they do have a 666 in their zip code.
That's pretty metal.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I've never been to Kansas. I don't know anything about it.
It sucks.
Yeah, whenever I drive through that direction, I always go through, like, Texas and the cool states. And the one where I go through Arkansas a little bit, Mr. Frisbee, where you live.
It's my theory that Kansas City probably started completely within the confines of Kansas and has slowly been trying to escape Kansas. And it's been over the years, it's moving a little more and more into Missouri, just trying to get out of that state because it is so shitty.
That's yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Missouri is pretty all right. They got like a lot of caves and stuff.
So yeah, it's got Bronson, which you enjoy.
Dude, I fucking love Bronson, Missouri.
Isn't it Branson?
Yeah, but you know.
You gotta go with that Death Wish stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that sweet arch, too.
Yeah, that arch is pretty all right.
I've been to that arch before.
I drove past it, but I didn't go to it. They also have like a really cool record store in St. Louis. Hmm. Anyway, my bad state is Virginia. Old Virginia. I used to live in Virginia when I was in eighth grade, and up until that point, I got caught up in a lot of angsty sort of talk about how Ohio stinks. You know, I'm from Ohio. It's just so boring. There's nothing to do. I'm so mad. And then I moved to Virginia, and I said,
"Were you a small Italian child?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so boring. I'm so mad in my home estate.
All you can do here is make a bigger tomato sauce.
I don't want to eat no pasta. I'm a little fuck.
Driven out of the state by the spicy meatball.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened.
You and your brother Luigi.
That was terrifying.
We jump on a Goomba. So I went to Virginia because my mom and my stepdad broke up. And boy, it sucked. There was just absolutely nothing there to do. The only thing that you could do, and it was the only thing anybody did do, was... on the weekends, you could go to a church and roller skate.
Mm.
And man, it sucked. There was also Busch Gardens in the town I lived. And if you were like a real rich guy, you could go there. But I was not. So
the town almost sounds like Footloose. You go to the church to roller skate. Don't hold hands.
Yeah, that's basically how it was. And they
Was that Huell Hauser who just busted in there?
Oh, look at this. We've got roller skates in a church.
That's Virginia's gold.
Man, I've got like something like 40 hours of Huell Hauser saved on my DVR that I need to watch.
And you say you hate that dude. It's a weird paradox with
you. I hate him the way that like you would hate This Island Earth or Troll 2 or something.
You love to hate Huell Hauser.
Yeah, he's a fucking joke, and I love making fun of him.
I thought you were going to say maybe you hated him in the same way that you hate Bradley Cooper or Brad Pitt, in that you could never be the
as handsome
specimen of a man that Huell Hauser is.
Yeah, I'll never be as good-looking or talented as Huell Hauser.
he's basically the Julian Sands of regional local television tourism.
That's probably true. I would agree to that. Anyway, so Virginia sucked. The best song that they ever played at that church was Jail by Collective Soul. And I went there every weekend for, however long I lived there, 3 months or something. And it was just the most awful place. The one good thing that came out of me living in Virginia is that somebody taught me the word poser while I was there. And I used that word all throughout my teen years.
I still use that word on the regular.
Yeah, there's a lot of posers out there.
There are. My favorite thing to do is to expose poses.
Mm-hmm.
Exposes.
Expose poses.
So what about your bad state, Mr. Cobras?
My bad state is by far the worst state. You guys were both totally mistaken. It's America's Wang, Florida.
That's my backup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured. I was surprised that neither of you guys picked that one. It's just Florida's the worst. And everyone there is racist and stupid. And I don't know. I have some friends who grew up there, and they have only the worst things to say about it. When I was in Hawaii, I had a shuttle driver who took us from the airport to the place we were staying. And it was me and my son and an African-American couple sitting in front of us in this shuttle, and that was it. And then the racist shuttle driver. And for the entire drive, it was like a half an hour, he just kept talking to them. He'd be like, yeah, he was from Florida. He told us he was from Florida. He moved to Hawaii, and he was a shuttle driver. And he just kept saying things like, there's not a lot of colored people out here.
Gross.
Don't see a lot of colored folks. mostly Asians, not a lot of colored folks. And he just kept saying colored people and colored folks. And it made me really uncomfortable. And it reminded me how much Florida sucks.
That's understandable. Was he like a super old guy?
No, he was like younger than me.
Whoa, that's deep.
Which also led me to another semi-racist theory of my own, which is that people that are in Florida live there because it's surrounded by water, and colored folks don't like to swim.
That's a terrible theory.
I like how when I said my own semi-racist theory, it was just crickets. It was crickets from you guys. But yeah, Florida sucks, and the only thing they have going for them is that all the best death metal bands came from there, like Morbid Angel and Death and I don't know, Nocturnus and Cannibal Corpse moved there after they got popular. And my theory about that is all the really good metal bands come from places that either suck shit, like Florida, or that rule, like Sweden, and there's no in between.
I don't know how much ruling Sweden does.
Sweden rules pretty hard.
Dude, I don't know. It's like all snowy fjords and shit. Fuck a bunch of that.
Have you seen Meatballs? The chicks?
No. Yeah. Oh, well, I saw the bikini team.
Yeah, they make up for IKEA.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're going to judge a whole country's chicks just based on their bikini team, though, that's a little swayed, I think.
Well, Parker, the bikini team is kind of a charity thing. They're like, okay, let the not so good looking girls represent Sweden. We gotta save some face by putting our fives out there. Let's keep the tens back home. So how does that grab you? What does that make you feel like?
Yeah, that sounds pretty all right then, I guess.
Bikinis go a long way in my book.
Yeah.
They're sort of like hide the bodies press to New York State.
Yeah.
The Swedish bikini team, all of Sweden can be judged just on the Swedish bikini team.
Yeah, I feel like bikinis don't really get like the kind of play that they used to in like the early 90s and late 80s, where like every movie had bikini in the title.
Yeah.
And, like, just everybody.
Oh, I thought you meant the mid 60s when every song and every movie had bikini in the title.
Yeah, that too. Going back to then, I don't care for that. I don't like seeing a bunch of Neanderthals in bikinis, but late 80s, early 90s people in bikinis is pretty all right.
And, yeah, since neither of you guys mentioned it, my backup bad state was New Jersey, just from what I've learned from trauma movies. I've never actually even been there.
We'll get to New Jersey. I got to come.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fuck.
Actually, yeah. I'm going to get there first. New Jersey was my ugly pick because, sorry, dudes. Sorry, Parker, especially since you seem to hint at it, but I've been to New Jersey a few times, and each time has been successfully probably the weirdest state visit I've ever had. It's unusual. They've got shit for everybody, but the weather and most of the environment is kind of shitty. In fact, when you drive into New Jersey from Philadelphia, you smell raw sewage. That's mm-hmm. the first thing you smell once you see the welcome center, which is lodged conveniently between two highways, just wedged in there. Like, there's no boulevard or anything. The highways move apart ever so slightly, like a giant axe wound, and there's this welcome center, and it just smells terrible. It's the weirdest greeting ever. It's like, welcome to our state. Hope you like shitty stuff.
Yeah. When I imagine New Jersey in my head, it's just a bubbling sea of sewage and toxic waste with like some dystopic smokestacks spewing filth in the background.
Yeah, that's a lot of what it's like.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. I figured Troma wouldn't lie to me. Lloyd Kaufman wouldn't lie to me about New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the rub. That's why I picked it for ugly, is because there are some interesting things that come out there, and it's kind of hard to kick a state when it's down after being completely demolished. I was over on the boardwalk this past summer, and to see everything get demolished, like places I had walked are gone now, and that's a fucking weird thing. That and yeah, of course, Troma. Like, Troma has that New Jersey pride about itself, like doing this sort of guerrilla filmmaking, not so much guerrilla filmmaking as just independent filmmaking.
You're thinking
these towns and these locales, and those
You're thinking about the movie Zookeeper? That's guerrilla filmmaking.
Right, yeah.
That is guerrilla filmmaking.
Good one.
Thanks. That's a pretty good joke.
That's a smart joke.
The flight that I was on with Gary Sinise, they were playing Here Comes the Boom.
You guys have been to New Jersey too, it sounds like.
I've only seen it from the New York side.
Yeah.
Never spent time there.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty. Me and Frisbee, we took a train from like Trenton or something in New Jersey to Manhattan. And yeah, like first off, it's like just pretty gross to be there to begin with, because it's like crazy violent and like crazy dirty, and you smell like everything smells like crap just as soon as you're in like Trenton or wherever we were. And then like the closer you get, like I was like all excited. I'd never been in New York before, and I was excited to see the skyline pop like the closer we got. And like the closer you get, like you kind of start seeing the skyline and you get excited, but like also the closer you get, like just right out the windows, like the more like tent cities and like old derelict cars from the Depression and shopping carts full of like feces and
Keith David and Rowdy Roddy syringes sitting by a campfire.
Yeah.
Wieners.
Yeah, like the closer you get to
arguing about putting on glasses.
Right.
Yeah, the closer you get to New York from New Jersey, the more it starts to look like Fresno. It's just awful.
Ew.
Yeah, just like empty old buildings.
Boy. Starts...
It's terrible. It's just an awful place.
Fresno and the dirtiness.
But it, you know, it does, to its credit, it makes New York look a lot cooler.
Yeah.
So, and you know, that's good. Muhammad, yeah, you're actually from near that area, right?
I think that's why it's
I'm from
there,
New York.
Ooh, well. Saucy.
Sorry.
I meant to mention one more thing, not to get off track, but if you guys really want a great sample of why Florida sucks, follow Florida Man on Twitter.
I think I will. I'll write it down right now.
Yeah, @_FloridaMan.
I actually think Florida's kind of cool, but I've only ever been to, like, Tampa and Clearwater. My backup ugly was Illinois, because it sucks to drive through because every road is a toll road, and they have this weird road that's, like, really high up in the air for some reason, and it's very scary, and everybody drives like a dickhead, and that's that. So, Illinois, I hate it. What's your ugly, Mr. Shelby Cobras?
My ugly, all right, might be a controversial pick. The internet will probably be ablaze with condemnations by the time this comes out. But I'm going to call my ugly Hawaii.
Boo, you were just in Hawaii.
Right. Hear me out, okay?
Yeah, you can't disrespect somebody who you just visited. You are a guest in their home.
I'm a guest in your home, so you show me the respect of hearing me out on this point.
All right, you got a deal.
All right. So Hawaii, of course, rife with natural beauty, volcanoes, lush rainforests, white sand beaches, whales, ocean. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes it ugly is the swarms of rich, white, fat people that are everywhere in Hawaii. And basically, when you go there and hang out, you're surrounded by the equivalent of like fat people throwing trash at whales. And the besmirchment of such natural beauty makes it all the more ugly to see a place with such natural beauty being just blasphemed by disgusting Americans.
Well, you sound like a total hippie.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And also, it's like when I'm just trying to chill out with my 420 nuggets, man, and like cops trying to hassle me, like that's pretty ugly too, because it's like, don't fucking come down on my trip, like, just because like you're a pig, you know? Do I still sound like a pig?
You were just listening to Jack Johnson. It was totally sweet.
Yeah, man, like put on some Jason Mraz. I had my fedora and my fucking acoustic guitar. We were just getting down with some beach jams. Like, what's the problem here?
Have you guys ever seen that movie, The Descendants, with George Clooney that takes place in Hawaii?
No, just the band, The Descendants.
Yeah.
I never saw the movie.
That's what the movie's about. George Clooney plays Milo. He goes to college.
Oh. Yeah, maybe I'll watch it.
It's pretty good. But that whole movie is about, like, George Clooney, like, he grew up in Hawaii, and, like, his family's from Hawaii and stuff, and, like, they're all, like, bummed out about, like, the tourists that come to Hawaii and stuff. But it's like, we just took that like we took Hawaii over. Like they had a king and they had like their own rules and stuff, and we took them over and made them a state against their will. And now we got movies about George Clooney talking about, I don't like tourists.
Exactly. That's why I find it to be an ugly place. I'm not talking about the aesthetics, the scenery. I'm talking about the social situation there is a really ugly thing.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably true.
And there's racist Floridian shuttle drivers everywhere.
Yeah. They're starting to take over.
Yeah.
These racist Floridians.
Because Hawaii is surrounded by...
It's surrounded by water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And colored folks don't like to swim.
And that's why the racist people go there.
Boom.
That's actually a pretty good theory. Now that you've made it clear.
There are so many truth bombs dropping on this show tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Don't get me wrong.
You've got an Ilkhan super fan out in Hawaii, correct?
No. You're thinking of Grady?
Yes.
He just moved to Chicago, actually.
Oh, bizarre. Does he still say aloha?
I don't know. He hasn't called in since he moved to Chicago. So he hasn't had the chance to say aloha. But I think we still have one listener out there.
Well, not anymore.
Ryan, if you're listening to this show, hey, how's it going?
Wouldn't it be funny if the whole time, like, that the racist shuttle driver was your listener in Hawaii?
He was Grady?
Yeah.
My mind is melting.
It would be like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I would like to give an honorary good to the great state of Nebraska for housing some of our favorite people, Seth Koozers.
Ah, yes.
And the Badland Girls, who we also care for deeply, deeply. So
I hold a special place in my tiny black and little heart for Mr. Seth Koozer.
Seth Koozer, man, he's so great. He's taking pictures of his favorite DVDs. He's tagging me. He's doing all the stuff I like.
Yeah, he's a king who walked amongst men. He's basically like the Julian Sands of Nebraska.
Yeah, he's basically the Julian Sands of Nebraska, although he did tell me that he bought me a Julian Sands poster, and I haven't seen that. So I think maybe he was pulling my leg, and I'm pretty offended by that.
Well, I don't know. There's a good chance a Julian Sands poster sent like via USPS, there's a pretty solid chance of some postal worker taking it home for themselves.
That's true. They do have those x-ray machines.
Yeah, that's going to be something that's in pretty high demand.
I was down in the bayou hunting alligators with World of Warcraft aficionado Jason Razor Babes Frisbane. An alligator ate his shirt right off of his muscular body. I said, don't worry. I reached in the cooler and pulled out a junk food dinner shirt from hide the bodies. Jason was eaten by an alligator. I guarantee it.
Well, I think we lost Frisbee.
Did we again?
Yeah, but he can S the D. We're going to go right into this lightning round.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
All right, the first thing we got is that The Onion apologizes for the tasteless Twitter remark. They said on Oscar night, they said that the broad, that 9-year-old girl who was nominated for Best Actress.
Beast of the Southern Wild girl?
Yeah, they said that she was a cunt. And everybody got mad. Did you see this tweet? Did you see all this hullabaloo? Or were you
too
busy?
I did not see the tweet or the hullabaloo, but as you just heard, it made me laugh, so they're excused.
Yeah, I did not see this tweet.
And that's how humor works.
That's true. I didn't see this tweet or hullabaloo either, but it is a pretty sound joke, as they're a satire organization, and they were calling attention to the fact that basically all the Oscars is for is getting people together and then laughing at people's ugly dresses and, like, being happy when people lose awards and stuff like that. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and what, you're not going to fucking call a fucking 9-year-old girl a cunt just because she's 9 years old?
Yeah, that's no excuse.
Like, welcome to Hollywood, bitch. This is how it works here.
Yeah. And
get used to it. I think they're doing her a favor by calling her a cunt. She might, like, it's not going to get any better from here on out.
That's true. Things are just going to get worse for her.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope they get worse for her.
I'm sure they will. And, like, Anne Hathaway, she was 9 years old once, and people call her a cunt, and nobody gets upset.
Yeah.
Everybody was 9 once, and everybody gets called a cunt once.
Every woman is somebody's daughter, and every woman is a cunt sometimes.
That's true.
Can we just move on? I mean, it made me laugh. That's the fucking bottom line. Who cares?
Yeah, and
it's a funny joke.
Yeah, it's just a fun joke. And, you know, it's especially sad, like, because now, like, it could have just been a joke, and the people who liked it could have been like, ah, that's a funny joke, and, like, the people who liked it could have been like, ah, that's not a funny joke. But now, because it was, like, such a big news story, this girl, 20 years from now, when she's, like, 30 and homeless because she's not ever going to work again, because that's how it works with child actors.
Yeah.
She's going
to
be like...
If she makes it to 30, come on, let's be honest.
Yeah. She's going to Google herself. She's going to Google, my name, Oscar Knight, and this is all that's going to pop up. So it wasn't the Onion that...
Yeah, let's be honest. That cunt's not going to make it to 30.
Cunts rarely do.
Yeah. That cunt's going to overdose and die at 12.
Yeah.
If she's lucky.
And if all that happens is that you're called a cunt, then that's, you know, you're getting off pretty easy. There's a lot worse stuff said out there.
Guess what else? Not everybody gets nominated for an Oscar at fucking 9 years old.
Yeah. Most kids are just sitting around playing Wii U.
Yeah, she's got a little bit. She actually has a little bit going for her at the time. So
maybe
she can take a little C word here and there.
Yeah, it'd be a lot worse if like they were like, oh, check out like a little Ricky Jones in third grade. What a cunt this kid is. Like, it's just some like random kid because he's got nothing going for him.
Yeah. Fucking the Onion is, they're so on point. They're, ever since they, you know, the print publication of the Onion, I don't know if you guys know about this, but they killed off like the newspaper version of the Onion.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it had been around since the 90s. I actually discovered the Onion when I was in on my aforementioned on the road trip in 1997. Mm-hmm. I was at my friend's uncle's house in Colorado, and it's the Onion actually started in Denver, and his uncle had like a stack of all the old issues of the Onion. It was the first time I ever saw it, and I sat in this dude's living room for like 2 days just reading old Onion newspapers, and they've always been amazing. I have a couple books of like, you know, Onion compendiums of old stories, and they've always been hilarious. They're always so biting with their social criticism, and I have nothing but the highest respect for the Onion. But yeah, they stopped making the actual physical newspapers, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because they printed them in San Francisco too.
Yeah, they're from, like, Wisconsin or something originally, and my mom and stepdad used to live there, and when I would visit them, I'd get it.
Yeah, so they only did it out of certain cities, I guess, and they came to San Francisco, like, 8 or 9 years ago, and then shut down maybe 3 years ago, and I was pretty bummed out by that, because they had newspaper machines in the streets of San Francisco where you could just grab an Onion like any other newspaper,
yeah,
and it was always good for a solid, you know, hour of laughs.
Yeah, and they also had, like, the good stuff of all the, like, other crappy independent newspapers, like bands playing and
Yeah, they had the AV Club and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Every time I see an Onion headline, whether it be, you know, on fucking Facebook or wherever, it's always funny.
They're pretty good. Do we have Mr. Frisbee? Is he here now?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mr. Frisbee! We just went on without you.
I heard, and not to be a bummer, but Onion AV Club kind of sucks. Like, if you know anything about the internet, you can kind of bypass Onion AV Club, because all they do is recapitulate whatever's on Gawker or fucking Reddit or Tumblr even. Like, hey, look what we just found. So, yeah.
Do you guys have an article or a headline that sticks out in your mind as your favorite Onion headline?
Post 9/11. That was hilarious.
What the whole holy fucking shit?
Yeah, holy fucking shit. What the fuck happened? Was like the byline.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That was a good one.
I like the one where the like God answers kid in a wheelchair's prayers, and then the sub headline is God says no.
Yeah. No, says God.
Yeah, that's good.
My favorite is actually a point counterpoint where the point was Jesus saying, it was then that I carried you. And then the counterpoint was like some guy saying, bullshit, Jesus. Those are obviously my footprints.
That's pretty good.
And then he goes on to explain how you can obviously see those sandal prints going over there by that palm tree where all those cigarette butts are.
Yeah, there's an op-ed by a goat that I love a lot. And we printed it out like 30 times and we posted it all over the newspaper I worked at. And it was just this op-ed about this goat. And he's like, hey, what do you got? You got some breadcrumbs? You mind if I eat that? You got some?
I remember that one. That was a good one.
So good.
Well, speaking of nine-year-olds, and this is probably the best segue you'll get all night, but...
I don't know. Parker had some real zingers earlier.
Speaking of thumbs, speaking of...
Speaking of what? Tongues? I don't know. It was mostly body parts.
Yeah, I can't do that with this. These are kids.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Nine-year-old rapper's adult-themed videos prompt state probe. Nine-year-old rapper out in Massachusetts, which was not mentioned tonight as a good, bad, or ugly state, but it's still a state. Louis Rivera Jr., whose stage name is Lil Poopy.
Lil Poopy.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good name.
It is.
He's getting acclaim for his very adult-themed videos where he raps. I don't know much about these. I just gleaned what I could from this article. Actually, I think I have seen one of these. And I don't know. It's kind of disconcerting. Like, child entertainers are always... It's a weird thing. You never know if they want to be exploited, if they are being exploited, or if this kid really is going that hard, to use the rap terms.
Oh, Lil Poopy goes hard.
Mm-hmm.
With a name like Lil Poopy, why wouldn't he? He's going to have a big poopy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder if there's a big poopy out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's why he had to be Lil Poopy, to differentiate between the two.
Maybe there's a medium poopy somewhere in between. Yeah. His dad and his stepdad, his dad and his grandfather are both rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Corn poopy, ghost poopy. Every poopy from that stupid poster that we all saw from Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah, I think that Lil Poopy is probably not being exploited, because if you watch the video closely, you will not see Jermaine Dupri in it.
No. Right. I don't know what that means.
He's a guy who like got famous by using like 14-year-old rappers and stuff.
What?
So yeah, tell me again, how old is Lil Poopy?
Nine. Which makes him a cunt, technically.
Ah, god damn it, Parker. Nah. Took it right from underneath me.
I'm very sorry.
God damn it.
I apologize. But hey, when you win some, you win some.
I want to tell you that I had like three run-ins with Seal's Kiss from a Rose this week.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's real, real upsetting.
I like it.
I think I had four this week. When I took out my iPod and scrolled down to Seal and then clicked on it and then scrolled down to Kiss from a Rose and clicked on it. Those four times in a row.
And you I thought you were going to say like, your four different playlists of just Seal's Kiss from a Rose on your iPod.
Yeah. My iPod is only Seal's Kiss from a Rose, but it's like 17 different playlists with 1,000 songs each, and it's all just Kiss from a Rose.
That's your Kiss from an iPod. Yeah. That's
that'd be an epic prank to play on a roommate or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just adding Kiss from a Rose on their iPod like 4,000 times.
Yeah. Kevin Moss from the Junk Food Dinner Show.
Never heard of it.
Drop. He was telling us a story a long time ago about how his roommate went out of town, and he was like, out, you know, he was like there alone, and like he kept hearing all these like noises, like people saying like "join us," like all these whispers, like of you know, like people whispering shit to him, like all scary. And he discovered that his roommate left like some little toy you can get at Spencer's Gifts, which like every hour it makes a little whispery ghost sound and scares the shit out of people. And now I want to buy one of those and put Kiss from a Rose in it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. It's also kind of odd that we had two Spencer's Gifts references in the last 2 minutes.
Hey, you guys, we should go to Spencer's Gifts tomorrow.
Fuck, we should.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to meet up?
Food court in front of the Chick-fil-A.
Sounds good.
Chick-fil-A? Parker, you want to go to Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, I like Chick-fil-A.
Soft egg. Not a lot of people realize that. It's a soft egg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where it's hyphenated.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I used to go to the food court and to the mall with Jono, friend of the show and past guest Jono, a lot. Mm-hmm. And every single time we were there, he would stand under the big food court sign and he would go, "Where the hell is the food court?" It was like the best joke.
Classic.
That's a smart joke.
That is the smartest joke of all jokes.
I have no regrets. The Spencer's Gifts is, I don't know, it's still around. It's got staying power, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
But
it's not going the way of Sam Goody or, you know, any of those other JCPenney, you know, slowly off chains.
Poor 40.
Well, people are out.
Spencer's is the cockroaches of mall chains.
Yeah, it's timeless. I mean, like, from now until the earth blows up, we're going to occasionally need posters of girls with bikini butts that says hot buns on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, where else am I going to get black lights? Exactly. And black light posters of South Park characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The world is going to be a nuclear bombed out husk of death and ash. And there's going to be all that's going to be left is Spencer's stores full of cockroaches.
Yeah. After the end of the world, there's just going to be tent cities and the tents will be made out of black light posters. Yeah.
That's a post-apocalyptic future I can look forward to.
It's going to be so good. I'm looking forward to all those Pantera posters everywhere.
Yeah. With Keith David and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
By the campfire.
Well, speaking of post-apocalyptic Spencer's gifting, gentleman by the name of Early Johnson's stolen porn collection has been replenished by porn companies. Oh. Early Johnson out of Michigan, 43 years old, 43 years young.
Mm-hmm.
A welder from Muskegon, Michigan, had his $7,500 porn collection stolen from his home, along with a few TVs. It contained about 40 years worth of screen sex, focusing on African-American performers, including old-school actresses and whatnot, like Vanessa Del Rio and Jeannie Pepper. And he claims that porn saved his marriage, which is interesting. Kept me from cheating on my wife. A lot of women here who want my expletive. I don't know what that could refer to. Maybe his car.
They want. Come on, they want
like
the
his
dick.
Wrist?
You guys are being naive. They want the dick.
How dare you, Parker?
Who's dick?
Mike.
What are
dick.
You talking about?
A lot of ladies out there are wanting this guy's Mike Dick.
Professional podcaster Mike Dick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, he says there are a lot of women who want Mike Dick, but I don't want to disrespect her. So I watch porn with her permission instead.
Yeah.
So I don't get this story at all. He watched porn so people wouldn't have sex with Mike Dick.
Yeah, I love that part. I love that he's just clearly telling news organizations, there's a lot of ladies out there who want a dick. What am I going to do?
I think I see that as a legitimate defense. As, you know, we've talked about it before. I hate the Japanese. But, you know, in their culture, they have all that crazy tentacle rape porn.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There's like no rape or even crime in Japan because their porn is so fucked up that they get it out that way.
That's true.
I'm still on the point that there is still violence and some weird sexual activity everywhere in the world, not just Japan, but I'm not giving Japan the exception. I'm not going to allow the tentacle prawn. Give the people tentacle prawn and they'll be subdued for a year thing. Because not everybody reads tentacle prawn over there. It's like a subset.
No, I'm pretty sure they do. I'm pretty sure everybody does.
Yeah, it's like in vending machines.
Yeah.
I
guarantee it.
You're mostly right, actually. When I did the Shinkansen thing, they were grown men. And not even creepy old men, but just like grown dudes who you think were just going to work reading gross porn stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You lived there, right, Frisbee?
Yeah, about 6 months.
And by the way, I'm totally joking. I love Japanese culture.
No, we're editing that part out because it's funnier when you have this uncalled for bias against Japanese culture.
All right, yeah, cut it out. But
and nobody gets mad at you. You can talk about the countries you hate all day long. Nobody ever gets mad about it. It's great.
You know what? All 9-year-old Japanese kids are cunts. but Frisbee, when you were there, is the age old myth about vending machines with dirty underwear in them true?
Yeah, I took a picture of one. There was one in.
So glad to hear that.
In Kurashiki, like the not the Golden City, but the one that was untouched by military bombardment during World War II.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not. No, it's Kyoto. Excuse me. I was thinking of Kyoto. It was like a part of Kyoto where there's like a Coke machine and then like a panties machine right next to it. And I'm like, damn it. I had to take a photo of it.
I'm so glad that's a real thing. I had heard of it so many times. And the whole time, I was just like, God, I hope that that's true.
Yeah, I was never trying to be smug when I was over there, but there were definite like moments where I just shake my head that some of the stereotypes were coming true.
Like, I just had a great visual of Frisbee hiding in a hotel room, just vigorously sniffing panties.
Well, you don't have to visualize that at all. I took a picture of that as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's on the internet already.
Oh yeah, they're all over. But it's weird. It goes from being super cute to super rapey, violent-y, and I struggled to find the in between. Even though they were like just these vending machines on the street.
That's really my cup of tea. That middle ground between super cute and super rapey violent.
Yeah, that's really the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the middle ground where I live.
Yeah.
I like it here.
Mm-hmm. I do like that these porn people reached out. Like, this is, like, you know, porn people, they're not doing well right now. They're losing money. But they gave this guy a new collection of porn. The porn industry did. I like that. I respect that. You're not going to get that a lot. If he lost his collection of, like, rare Descendants 7 inches, the Descendants wouldn't help him out.
Wait, you mean Descendants, the movie with George Clooney, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The 7 inches from that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how he watches movies.
In the story, what format this guy's porn was on? I'm guessing VHS, right?
I would think so, since it's like all this old stuff. He's got a lot of Vanessa Del Rio, they say, and she's an old school lady.
There can't be a lot of Vanessa Del Rio DVDs out there.
Yeah.
But now, with all these donations, as a listener to the show, Blake puts it, he's going blue. He's getting all the blue, which
Hell
is my
yeah.
favorite way of describing Blu-ray. That is excellent. And he's also got a 3D TV now in HD with 3D glasses.
Yeah, that's pretty
sweet. Damn.
Blake Sells pretty on point. I got to go to Blake Sells' house and watch some Basket Case in 3D.
Oh, no, this is the Freddie Johnson guy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Blake Sells. I thought Blake Sells was doing well for himself.
Hey,
what he's doing all right.
Well, not that great if he doesn't have a 3D television with Blu-ray porn.
Right.
Yeah. That's the standard now that we're measuring ourselves against.
Yeah, that's how you can tell if you're wealthy or not. That's how they're going to separate the new tax brackets.
Well, this guy remains modest. I love the way he describes himself. This is the ultimate pun. Parker, you'll love this. Mm-hmm. He says he's self-proclaimed working stiff. And kudos to Huffington Post for just letting that one sit there between double dashes. That's a really smart joke.
That is. That's good. That's good journalism to not call
attention
to that.
Yeah.
Will you guys remind me next week to make a fraudulent claim about having several thousand dollars worth of pornography stolen from me?
Yeah, we'll back you up.
Does it sound like it really worked out for this guy?
Yeah, we've all lost thousands of dollars worth of pornography on this show. Except for Frisbee, he only lost one pornography tape, and that was the China one. So if we could get that back for him, that would be great.
I'll send you a copy. I have like 6 or 7 copies of that.
No,
it's a living nightmare.
You know what I did once? I was moving out of an apartment in San Francisco. And I was moving in with a girlfriend, and I decided to get rid of all my VHS porn, and I just left it in a cardboard box at a gas station in San Francisco.
Nice.
And I like to fantasize sometimes about who found that box and what happened to that big box of VHS porn.
Yeah, you probably made some 15-year-old dude like the happiest guy on earth.
I know. I like to think that I made some dreams come true that day.
Yeah, you probably did. I know that there were times when I was growing up where, like, you would just, like, find, like, a porn magazine in the woods or something. And I was
It's always in the woods. I had that same experience as a kid. The first porn magazine I ever saw was in the woods, and it was the Playboy that had Christy Brinkley in it.
Yeah. Yeah, they always –
it was the first porn I ever saw in my life. It was in the woods. Everybody's first porn experience was in the woods with a magazine.
Yeah, everybody on TV always says, oh, did you find some porno magazines in the – like bottom of your dad's closet and everything like this? No, it's always in the woods.
In the fucking woods.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, it's so weird. Who leaves porn magazines in the woods?
I don't know. It's a pretty common occurrence.
It's like the porn fairy. It's like the underground Santa Claus of pornography. There should be a patron saint of woods porn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should like go and buy like $20 worth of porn and just scatter it around the woods one day.
We should make dreams come true.
Yeah.
This is probably how it starts, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just dudes being like, oh, remember that time we were out in the woods?
Creepy dudes on podcats.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Podcat dudes.
This is how it happens every time.
We'll be every time. We'll be regular jismy apple seeds.
And hence their tradition is passed down through the generations.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hunter becomes the hunted.
It's a game of cat and titmouse. I guess that's the end of the show. I want to talk to you, Shabby Cobras, about your band. Do you guys CDs?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so I've got some things to plug. Today, my band Apocryphon, that's spelled Apocryphon, we have a new CD out. It's a split CD with another band called Fabricant from California. It just went up for pre-order today on Horror, Pain, Gore, Death Records. They put out mostly like family stuff, like pop music. that just went up for pre-order today. You can find us on Facebook. If you look up Apocryphon on Facebook, and there's a link there where you can go pre-order. It's like $8 or something. Pretty stoked on that. We have a bunch of dates coming up all up and down the West Coast. We're playing March 21st at the DNA Lounge in San Francisco. We're playing March 29th in Sacramento, March 30th in San Jose, April 12th in San Francisco at the Hemlock. We're playing a crazy mountain festival April 26th and 27th in a little town called Soda Springs.
Where's that town at?
It's like between Truckee and Tahoe.
Oh, sweet. I've been wanting to go there.
You should come up for that, man. 26th and 27th, we're playing with one of my favorite bands in the world, Absu from Texas. And there's like 25 other bands playing, and it's just going to be a crazy camp out in the mountains. It's kind of at this resort-type place that has cabins and stuff, but there's free camping for the festival.
It's going to be in the woods, eh?
It's going to be in the woods, yes. I'll
bring some of my porno.
Yes, exactly.
Get started.
And then May 2nd, we're playing Eureka, California. May 3rd in Seattle. May 4th in Portland. And then June 29th, we're playing the San Francisco Dissonance Fest here in the good old Bay Area. So we have a lot of shit coming up. A bunch of new merchandise and, yeah, the new album. Just all kinds of crazy shit coming up.
No Central Valley love there, eh?
No, because... is there anywhere to play in the Central Valley?
I don't think so. I've lived here for 3 years, and I have not heard one thing about any bands playing here the entire time.
Yeah, there's kind of a circuit of good clubs to play all down the coast, but once you get into the Valley, it's really fucking hard to find places where anyone's going to come out. But, Parker, if you can rent like a 10-foot by 10-foot space, or if you even have room in your living room, we'll come play at your house.
Yeah, that's one of the only shows I've seen here, one of two shows I've seen since coming out here, was just like a backyard show.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes here, I guess.
We'll do it. Let's fucking hook it up.
I live in an apartment now, so I don't have a backyard anymore.
Okay. Well, we'll play. Do you have a parking garage or anything? Or all right. Is there a Payless we could go into after hours?
Well, there's like hundreds of miles of like just deserty fields full of bullshit. I guess we could probably go to one of those.
Yeah, yeah. If we can get a hold of a generator, that sounds just fine.
Yeah.
And go to Radio Valencia, the new home of Logic Contraption Radio, and check that shit out. We got a lot of good guests coming up and crazy shit happening.
Sounds nice.
Fuck yes.
Yes. Also, go to junkfooddinner.com. Buy a junk food dinner shirt. You can go there. You can look at the Illogical Contraption shirt, and then you can buy the Junk Food Dinner shirt.
That's the recommended choice of actions.
Yeah. Also, go to poolpartyradio.com. Find all our episodes there, especially the old ones. You can find the new ones, the good ones, on iTunes and on Stitcher. If you're on iTunes, why don't you leave us a nice review? I think that would be nice. I think our birthday's coming up, and a lot of reviews would be nice. You know, we look like dickheads with the amount of ratings and reviews we have right now, but if we get a couple more, then we'll look like regular earwolves.
I'm going to write you guys a review.
I would appreciate that. I reviewed your podcasts.
Did you?
I did. It's in there somewhere.
You should tell me your user. Is your username like your real name?
Kind of. No. No, it's not. No. Okay. It used to be. I think I changed it.
I was going to say, if you... You don't even necessarily need to listen to my podcast. Like, we're pretty shitty most of the time. But if you go on iTunes and read the reviews of our podcast, that's where the fucking... That's where the money is.
Yeah, you
that's
guys get pretty... Neat. You guys get pretty good reviews.
We do get really good reviews. Our show's not that great, but we get really great reviews.
We actually got a good review a while back. I've been meaning to bring this up. A while back, I was being like a big baby, and I was like complaining that people go on other podcasts, bros of ours, and leave reviews like, oh, I like this show. I heard about it on Pool Party, and Pool Party is great, but they don't review our shows. But the guy who did that, he left us a nice review on iTunes talking about how he likes this show because it's sort of like kissing contests. So that's good.
He remembers that's, another show that's in sweet his of review of us. That's good.
Yes, I appreciate that. I like that. What else is there? You can find Mr. Frisbee on the new episode of Acid Pop Cult.
I'm still kind of pissed that he went on without you, Parker.
Man, I was so heated.
That fucking hurt my feelings.
I know.
I'm heated that you're heated.
I know. Muhammad,
you get heated from other people being heated. You're
it's kind of my thing, okay, Frisbee?
You're cold-blooded.
Yeah, Muhammad, how would you feel if Frisbee went on Acid Pop Cult without you?
I'd be real pissed off.
Well, it happened. Right. So deal with it, Spurbeck.
Uh-uh, brother.
Okay. Yeah, check it out. It was a good deal of fun.
Yeah.
Talked with Jerry Morrison's and Jill Moe, who we talked to. He's going to be on the show soon, right?
Jeremy. Probably.
Lee
will definitely be on the show. He'll be on the 101st episode in 2 weeks.
Ooh, which we're up on our 100th. Yeah. This is getting pretty dicey. Yeah, not dicey, but pretty close.
I got to get up off my ass and watch Saved by the Bell, I guess.
Yep.
So that'll be exciting. And also, I do want to have Jeremy on because me and him, we bicker like old men about Wes Craven a lot. So I think that we should do a Chuckle Points with Wes Craven, but instead of Chuckle Points, it's Scary Points.
to bring things full circle, it seemed like at the beginning of the show you referred to him as Wes Craven.
I think I did, but it's because I'm drinking this weird apple pie whiskey.
Wes Craven sounds like a town in Massachusetts to me.
Yeah, it does.
I would like to visit Wes Craven.
Yeah. Sounds like a Stephen King town in Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, right next to Castle Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the town of Wes Craven, there was a writer
who sucked at writing things.
And then scary things happen. So yeah, that's exciting. I listened to your Acid Pop Cult episode. It was very nice. You talked about Dolemite.
You talked about Petey Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Some Rudy Ray Moore stuff. It was fun.
Yeah, it was cool.
I haven't talked about Rudy Ray Moore for a while. I remember being introduced. Well, you'll hear all about it on the episode. How about that?
Yeah, don't give it away here for free.
You white bread, no business motherfuckers.
Yeah, we'll give it away here for free. You can listen to there for free.
And also, speaking of free, I'm going to be going back on the Rotten Rantings next week.
So, what? Without me?
Yeah, without you.
Really heats me up.
But notice how unpissed I am. I'm totally okay with this.
Hey, I said
that's because you're the nicest guy ever. Me and Parker were talking about this when your Skype cut out for a minute.
I heard a little bit of that. That was very nice.
You seem like the nicest guy ever. Parker, not so much. But Jason, you seem like a seem like a pretty solid fucking chill dude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty on the level, but yeah. I can be a real knob job sometimes. Parker can attest, I'm sure.
Nah, you're pretty nice.
All right.
You're so nice that you never listened to that advice from Muhammad. You know the advice I'm talking about.
Now get mad and start talking.
Can't do it.
Yeah, it's no good.
Too nice. What, are we all going to suck each other's dicks now?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Everybody.
That's how we end the show. That's why we're better than kissing contests, because we go all the way, baby.
Can we end with 10 minutes of dick sucking noises on this episode?
We can again.
I'll see why not.
It all ties together because we're going to end with what pretty much amounts to 10 minutes of dick sucking.
That's true. Well, we're all very nice here. We all like each other a lot. Muhammad, you like us as well?
I'm madly in love with you.
That's so. But yeah, I'm going back on Rotten Rantings. I just texted Katie the other day, and I was like, hey, what movies are you guys watching? I want to watch a movie. And she was like, you're just going to come on the show. So now I'm going on the show. That's how it works sometimes, I guess.
Yep. Without me, then it's okay.
Hey, you don't want to watch Dr. Giggles.
Hey, I watched Autumn Underground. And Flowers of Flesh and Blood.
August
and Centipede, Human Centipedes 2s.
Yeah.
So, and I watched Dr. Giggles already for our Halloween countdown, our Halloween tourney.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well,
Dr. Giggles is fucking sweet.
Pretty fucking dumb movie, I have to say.
Yeah.
But it's a great, like, video watch. Well, you can't really watch videos anymore. It's a great DVD or instant watch.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Besides, I don't think Muhammad likes it when you go on other podcasts.
You can't do this. You work for me.
I don't work for nobody's.
You don't get a percentage.
All right. I guess that's everything. Email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com, and we'll read it, most likely, but we forget to a lot. And that's about it. So this is Parker for Muhammad and Shelby Cobretti and Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe saying thanks for having fun.
I'm gonna have to come back next week then, though.
Sounds
good. I don't want to miss out on Morrissey chat.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Can we give him like his own holiday? Call it Morrissey Day and the Time. Then we could just play the Time songs.
The Time
instead of Morris. Yeah.
Morris. Oh yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Morris Day. And the Time.
It takes a bit, but it'd be funny to have a Morrissey segment and just play, like, what is it? Jungle Love.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have Morrissey Day and the Time Bandits and make it a full circle, like, sci-fi time travel with Morrissey segment.
Yeah, you could do a mashup of, like, Mita's Murder, anything from the Time's performances on Purple Rain, and just some bullshit from Time Bandits. Like,
oh, check it out.
We're in Robin Hood times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could even tie in some, like, old-school punk Circle Jerks talk to it, and you can make it Keith Morrissey Day and the Time Bandits.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah.
You're a dream factory. You're a hit maker.
Yep.
I would love to hear that Circle Jerks and Morrissey song, Getting Sad in the Streets.
I refuse to have group sex. This is gold! This is gold! Why aren't you hitting record?